cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, fires burning across Europe and right now in California. Catastrophic flooding in Kentucky, unprecedented heat wave in the UK. These are just a sample of the extreme weather that we've covered here in recent weeks. The big picture, though, is our planet is at stake. We've got a great voice on this. He writes a column each week for The Guardian. He's written quite a few books, including Heat, How We Can Stop the Planet from Burning. And his newest is Regenesis, Feeding the World Without Devouring the Planet. George Monbiot is joining us now. He's a columnist at The Guardian, joining us via Zoom this afternoon. George, it's really good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, doing all right, despite the state of the planet.
Yeah, well, that's what I want to talk to you about, because this new book that you wrote is all about environmental destruction that we don't necessarily talk about a lot. It's not about the fossil fuels that, you know, go into the atmosphere as a result of us commuting. It's not about poisoning rivers, you know, with chemicals as a result of manufacturing. It's about how we survive, how we eat. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so the food industry, we don't really want to go there. You know, we much prefer to criticize fossil fuels, but actually, I'm sorry to say that the most destructive industry on Earth is farming. It's the biggest cause of habitat destruction, the biggest cause of species loss, of extinction, of land use, of water use, of soil erosion, one of the biggest causes of water pollution, of air pollution, and one of the biggest causes of climate breakdown. Now, obviously, we need farming and we need to eat, but we need a long, hard, and realistic conversation about the devastating effects that the way we farm is having on the living planet on which we also depend.
Well, I guess this is where I'm curious about the government here, because in the United States, I believe most of farming is subsidized by the U.S. government. So what is their role in all of this?
Thanks, Kriti. Well, worldwide, governments are spending $500 billion on farm subsidies.
Wow.
$500 billion. And almost all those subsidies are destructive environmentally. They are subsidizing damaging practices. Now, we could radically repurpose those subsidies and pay farmers to be protecting the planet, and in some places to stop farming, because there's certain kinds of farming. And I'm afraid the kinds of farming which there's a lot of sort of myths and warmth towards, which has extensive livestock farming, ranching, in other words, which are peculiarly damaging. I mean, they exert a far greater impact than the amount of food they produce warrant. And so to be paying farmers to get out of that farming altogether and to restore the land instead, that would make a really massive contribution towards protecting our life support systems.
George, let's continue with solutions here. And I want to talk about this on a governmental level, but also on a personal level. And I always want to know, when I talk to people like you who put so much work into writing a book like this and all the work that you've done over your career, personal steps that we can take when we're in the supermarket, when we're buying food? What should we be doing at the personal level?
Well, the first thing to say is that we're much more effective as citizens than we are as consumers. And a lot of the changes which need to take place are political. But we also do have power in our choices. And one of those, when it comes to food, the biggest change we can make of all is to switch away from eating meat and milk and eggs, animal products, towards a plant-based diet. And I know that doesn't play very well in the United States, but I'm not in the business of telling people what they want to hear. I'm in the business of retailing.
And just so I understand, completely eradicate meat, all meat.
That would be the best thing you can possibly do for the living world.
Wow. It's a big ask.
Not for everybody. I mean, there are a lot of people who... And
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a vegetarian, but for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's start there then. How much of a case do you think you'd have to make for people to get on board, to actually care about the destruction, the environmental destruction at a time, by the way, when food scarcity is a major issue and food prices are, I think, at record highs?
It is. And one of the reasons for that is that a great deal of the food that we produce goes to feeding animals rather than feeding humans. And that's actually a really inefficient way of feeding us, because a lot of that food value is lost when it passes through the animal. So that is actually another very powerful reason to be moving towards a plant-based diet. You know, we can't afford it, either as human beings or as far as the rest of the living world is concerned. We can't afford to keep eating these animal-heavy diets. And now, actually, we have some very good substitutes coming forward, not least in the shape of this precision fermentation. It's basically an enhanced form of brewing, and it produces protein-rich and fat-rich foods. It'll soon be very cheaply, and they'll be much better than a lot of the plant-based substitutes that we're seeing at the moment. So I think we're on the verge of a big food revolution, which will help people make the right choices.
Well, some people, I think, would argue that part of that food revolution includes different agricultural methods. And I'm wondering where you fall on vertical farming, because it's really hot right now here in the U.S., but there's been a lot of pushback on the environmental impact of it. So in the last minute and a half that we have with you, talk to us about that.
Well, I've seen a lot of investors lose their shirts on it, and I think they'll continue to do so. And this isn't an environmental argument. This is a business argument. They're going head to head with horizontal farming, which doesn't require those big infrastructure costs, those load-bearing structures which are required. And also, of course, doesn't require the artificial light which is needed in vertical farming, because horizontal farmers get their sunlight for free. So I just don't think it's economically viable. And I think the entrepreneurs investing in it will continue to see their businesses fold.
George, in the last 40 seconds we have with you, leave us with one thing apart from not eating meat that kind of gives you hope for how we can move forward.
The switch towards perennial grain crops where the plants last from one year to another and you can keep harvesting. These are being pioneered by the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas, and it's really inspiring to see what they're doing, because this causes far less damage and those crops are much more resilient to climate shocks and other environmental disasters too. They could be one of the formulas for helping us survive the terrible impacts that we're seeing at the beginning of this century.
George, you've given us a lot to think about. We really appreciate it. You staying up late in Oxford, England, and taking the time to join us on Bloomberg Business Week. George Monbiot, the author of Regenesis, Feeding the World Without Devouring the Planet. That is going to do it for this edition of Bloomberg Business Week. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Business Week, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.